so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Amen. In the book of John, chapter 13, I want to talk to you this morning about a servant's towel. A servant's towel. John chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not going to find it, say go ahead. All right. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own son who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, I want you to underline, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. Boy, isn't that good when you know where you came from and you know where you're going? I know I came from God and I'm going to God. Come on, somebody. He rose from supper and laid aside his garment. He rose and laid aside his garment. You know, I decided I'm going to keep my garment on. Thank you. I'm going to keep it on. But just picture it with it out. Because see all this? I don't like all that. And it shows up. It shows up. I went back and watched the Easter one. I had like a whole family living back here. And that's what I get for losing a little weight. Anyway, he laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. He got ready to serve is what he did. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Father, I pray that you grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is your anointing. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. It seems like in the day in which we live that everybody is in a hurry. I know that I am. I don't understand, and I know that we have a few police officers here this morning, but I don't understand why I got to stop at a red light at 3 a.m. when ain't nobody else coming. I just think they ought to give me a pass because I got places to go, people to see. I don't understand why I got to get to the airport 2 hours early to get on a plane and wait on the tarmac for another 30, 40 minutes. I got places to go. I got people to see. But it seems that we are always in a hurry, and the same spirit of the world comes into the church, and everything we want it right now, and nobody's willing to put in the work to really know God and anybody else for that matter, right? We want it and we want it right now. We don't want to put in the work to get to know somebody. We want eHarmony to do it for us. We want somebody else to put in the work and tell us about somebody. But the reality is that you've got to come to know somebody. And it takes time to get to know them. It takes time to walk with God. You may go, "Wait a minute, Pastor, I've been saved." It takes time to walk with God. How many know things about God today that you had no clue when you first got saved? Amen? If you don't know any more about God today than when you got saved, I hope you got saved just a few minutes ago. Because once you get saved, you begin to go into His Word. His Word begins to be enlightened into your life. And you begin to find out more about the Lord and how He is and what He is and how you should respond and or react to Him. But we Christians, we want it right now. But the first commitment as a Christian is to worship God. God is not, God doesn't have an inferiority complex. That's why He has to be worshipped. No, He has to be worshipped because He made you, and He declares that if you're going to serve Him, you're going to worship Him. And when you begin to realize all that He has given you, you can't help but to worship Him. Well, Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. Well, but He still gave you life. Amen. You see, the first thing is to be a worshiper. The Bible said they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said also that they that come to worship Me must worship Me in spirit and in truth. And if we're going to be a Christian, then we've got to be a worshiper. Well, I'm not really a worshiper. I just like to go deep into the Word. If you go deep into the Word, you will become a worshiper. Well, I'm just not very demonstrative. I'm not saying your worship has to be demonstrative, but you must worship God because it is the first commitment of a Christian. The second, you cannot walk with God that you don't worship. You can't, my God, somebody hear me. You can't walk with a God that you don't worship. You're not going to be able to walk with Him. You may know Him, but you won't be able to walk with Him. Because He will not take second to anything or anybody. He is God Almighty. And let me just go ahead and help some of you. God is God, and He's not going to change the fact just because you don't like it. He's okay with Him being God. He ain't going to let you be God. He ain't going to let the devil be God. He ain't going to let anybody else be God but Him. He is God. Come on, somebody. Enoch, the Bible said, walked with God by faith. Abel, the Bible said, worshiped God by faith. See, some people try to step past worshiping into walking, and it doesn't happen. Listen. Worshiping is the time that you get to know God. You see, some people want to skip the dating phase and go right to the marriage phase. Huh. I dated my wife for a year and a half. And when I said I do, I didn't know what I did. I know that's not good English, but you getting what I'm saying? I thought I knew her. Woo! She thought she knew me. You think you know God, but when you begin to worship God and walk with God, you really begin to know Him. But then there's a third thing. Noah worked with God. Now, do you notice the progression? He worshiped God. He worshiped God, then he walked with God, then he worked with God. That's where many of us need to be. We worship God, then we walk with God, and then we get to work with God. Some people want to get saved and work for God, and work with God, but you've never learned to worship God, and you've never learned to walk with God. See, there's the progression. Worshiping, walking, and then working with Him. You cannot do one until you've done the other. And the problem is we've got too many people who are trying to work with God or work for God who have never walked with God. And you're trying to be the mouthpiece of God when you don't know grits is groceries. You're trying to walk with God and you've never worshiped God. You've just heard somebody else talking about God, but you've never spent any time with God. You've heard somebody else talk about God, but you've never walked with Him. You've never worshiped Him. We are by nature a selfish people who come to receive. Right? Most of us. I did. I came this morning and I got here early and I said, Lord, I pray that You give everybody what they came to receive today, including me, because I've come to receive. Wait a minute, Pastor. You're the one that's giving it out this morning. No, it's the Lord, but I understand what you're saying. But it's still by nature, I want to receive. But the progression, my Lord, help me somebody. The progression will lead you to a new dimension. When you worship, when you walk, and when you work, you get a new dimension whereby we come to give instead of just receive. Because you begin to understand that as you give, God flows through you and you are receiving as you're giving. That's the greatest gift, is when God flows through you and when you are the conduit of God, it's got to come in one entrance so that it can go out another entrance. Come on, somebody. And the problem is people are trying to give away what they don't have. We've got people who are trying to give peace to people who don't have any peace. We've got folks who are trying to deliver folks who are still bound by themselves. We've got to understand. We've got to worship. Then we've got to walk, and then we get to work. Jesus had the hardest time teaching his disciples this. He taught them many things. He did miracles. The Bible says that Jesus broke bread with the disciples in their culture. You didn't just eat with anybody. You didn't just eat with whoever. You only ate with those who you were in covenant with. But then the second point is this. The Bible says supper being ended. I like that. Supper being ended. See, there's a progression going on. There's a time that you gratify yourself. That we come to church and it's all about me. It's all about what I want. Oh, they played my favorite song. Oh, they didn't play my favorite song. It's all about me. Oh, it's too loud. It's too quiet. It's too long. The preacher's too long. He's too short. He's too tall. He's too fat. He's too ugly. He's blah, blah, blah. It's all about you. I don't like that. I like this. I like that. You've got to understand that it's not all about you. There's a time of me being blessed. The time of self-gratification, the time of me being blessed. And I hope that you are blessed, but there comes a time after you are blessed, after you have fed, after you have satisfied your self-gratification, there comes a time that you got to forget some things in life. You know, you have to know when to give the benediction to some things. You got to know when to say goodbye to some things. You got to know when enough is enough. You've got to know when it's time to get over just you being blessed, and then you become a blessing. Good preaching, Pastor. Enough is enough. Devil, I've had enough. I'm about to say goodbye to some things. What was on him, he took off. He took off his garment and girded himself with a towel. Now, did you notice what happened? He took off what was on him and girded a towel. He got ready to serve. He got ready to be a blessing. There was a time that Jesus was blessed. There was a time, you know, and matter of fact, we could even talk about even the bread that he took. The Bible said he took the bread. He blessed the bread, but then we don't like the next part. He broke the bread, but then he gave the bread. My God, somebody hear me. See, we like the blessing part, but we don't like the breaking part, but we like the giving part. Some of us like to, when God gives us, we love it when God just comes on us and, man, we're all that in a bag of chips, and folks are coming up to us and going, oh, you're so pure, you're so wonderful, you're so glorious. But there's some things on you that you need to take off. If you're going to work for God, you must understand that you cannot work for Him and own your own agenda. You cannot work for Him with your own pride. You cannot work for Him with your own glory. You must become the servant. I don't like to serve. Pride, usually. See, here's what normally happens. Somebody served you, but then you just like it and you camp out there. Instead of you being served, you being refreshed, and then you turning around and trying to refresh and serve somebody else. The Bible says, for those of us that think that want to be the greatest, then we've got to become the greatest servant. Come on, somebody. But we don't like that. We want to be high and lifted up. We want to sit on the right hand of Jesus. Listen, what takes some things off? You got to be careful when you take some things off. Be careful what else you put on. Let that sink in. When you take some things off, be careful what you put on. Because if you're not careful, you'll put on the wrong thing. You'll begin to believe your own press. See, the problem with America is we believe too many, and not just America, the church really, is that we believe what the enemy's told us. We believe what everybody else said about us. Oh, you're ugly. You're not. You couldn't do it. You'll never amount to anything. You know, I had some teachers who told me that I'd be in jail before I was 21. I just got to say, nana, nana, nana. I ain't ever been to jail except to visit some other folk. Come on, somebody. I had some people who told me that. I had some people said I'd never amount to anything. I might not be what they think amounted to something, but I'm something in the eyes of my Father. I'm something in the eyes of my Father. He knows my name. He knows my address. And he knows exactly where I am. And I'm just thankful that he knows my name. Woo! But the problem is we believe people when they say we're no good, but then we believe people when they say we're all that. Wait a minute, Pastor. You've taught us many times not to be average. And I will agree, yes, don't be average. You serve an extraordinary God. You have the ability to be extraordinary. But the problem is you cannot begin to believe the press, whether it is good or bad. You got to know who you are. I'm a child of God. You know, I had one lady's only ever done this to me before. And she did it in front of my wife. And she did this to me. She said, "Oh, Sister Sherry, how can you stand to be around Pastor all that time? He's just so anointed." And I thought, "You weirdo." And she went, my wife went, "Yeah, right." Because she knows. See, you got to stay balanced. You got to remember who's working through you. What does the pipe would say? What does the gutter say? The gutter doesn't go, "Well, look at me." No, it just does its job. The gutter didn't say, "Look at me." No, because somebody had to put the gutter there. And I say, "Lord, just let me be the gutter. Let me be the gutter to funnel your anointing and funnel your flow to whomever it may go." You got to understand this, church. See, Jesus girded himself to serve someone else. Anyone can wash feet of someone you love. I ain't going to tell you. I've had to work through this a little bit with myself. I had to work it through. You can wash anybody's feet of whom you love. But how about washing the feet of somebody you know that's about to betray you? Come on, somebody. How about washing somebody's feet who would deny you? How about somebody who would doubt your authenticity? Can you be disciplined enough to serve God or to serve all types of people? I just want to, you know, I've heard churches say this. Well, we're the friendliest church in town. Well, are you the friendliest church in town to the people you know? Because you always sit with the people you know. It's going to get tight before it gets loose. It's all right. Some of y'all right now are getting some hiney tight right now. Just sucking up on that pew right there. Whoop. They're getting tight. Whoop. Can you serve people you don't know? Or you know what? It's easier to serve people you don't know, but can you serve people you do know? Yeah, baby. Can you serve people that you do know and you've already decided you don't like them? Here's what Isaiah 40:31 says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and faint not. Like God's going to be late, right? They must serve the Lord. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But if you really want to go where God, I believe, has taken us as a church and you as a person, point number three, you got to learn to flow in a towel anointing. You got to learn to flow in the towel anointing. You know, what is that? Let me just take you back real quickly. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm not going to read anything there. Go back there and read it later because I don't have enough time. Chapter 19 is the story of Elijah the prophet and Elisha. And here we have a depressed Elijah in a cave, almost suicidal because a woman threatened to kill him. I mean, kings threatened to kill him. He wasn't moved. But a woman? Anybody that's married understands. But God said in chapter 19, I want you to go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And I want you to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And Elisha to be the prophet in your stead. He said, I want you to go and do something. God did not give you an anointing to sit on. God did not give you a call just to sit in your seat and not do anything for him. God did not save you just to kick back and put up your feet and be the Christian and just take sarah, sarah, whatever will be. He gave you an anointing for a person, for a purpose. Anytime you're in a cave situation and you want to get out, you have to anoint your way out. Oh, some of y'all didn't get that. What do you mean? Try serving your way out. Try to anoint your way out. I'm going to do what the Lord said do. I'm going to worship. I'm going to do what the Lord said to do. I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve somebody who's less fortunate than me. You can always find somebody who's worse off than you. You can always, as a matter of fact, it don't take a lot of insight to find somebody who's worse off than you. If you keep coming out, you're going to have to come out slinging some oil. Somebody say amen. No devil in hell can keep you in that cave. You come out, by God, devil, you thought you had me down. You thought you had me out, but you don't understand. I've got an anointing on my life, and I'm about to go over here and anoint this and anoint that. What do you mean? He was serving. You want to get out of depression? Serve somebody. Well, I just don't know what to do. Well, I don't know. If you go to this church, there's a connect stand outside. You can go to their connect and serve and do something. You can do something. Now listen, here's the problem. Sometimes we try to serve to cause our depression to go away only. How many's ever served? You can raise your hand because I can raise mine. How many of you have ever served and go, I feel so used? If you've ever been a pastor. Pastor, you feel that way? Oh, yeah, man, we help people all the time. Where are they at now? I help move them people in their house. Where are they at now? I personally bought one family a car. It wasn't a new car, but it was better than what they had, which was a wagon. Bought them a car. Where you at now? I wish the live streaming was on. Where you at now? Bought groceries. Prayed people through. Hours of counseling. Where you at now? Right? Serve. Well then, Pastor, why aren't you bitter? Because I didn't do it for them. They were not the only thing on my mind. What was on my mind? God has given me something and I've got to give it away. Help me, somebody. The Bible says Elijah just passed by Elisha. When he did, the mantle touched him. Whew. Can you imagine just somebody walking by you and maybe their coat or their mantle just touched you? And man, when that mantle touched you, the Elisha stood up. The Elisha was out with a whole plowing. There it is, with a whole team of oxen. And the man of God just come by, and his mantle touched him, and Elisha went. And he ran over to Elijah, and he said, "Let me go say goodbye to my mama and my daddy, and I'll go with you." And Elijah said, "I ain't do nothing." I didn't say anything. Listen, church, his anointing got on him. See, when you serve his anointing, God's anointing gets on you. And then when you serve other folks, that anointing gets on you. We need the anointing. It's the anointing that makes the difference. You see, when the anointing of ministry gets on you, it will change your life. And then, Pastor, you saying all of us are called into the full-time ministry? No, no, no. But we're all called to serve. Well, Pastor, what's my ministry? Whatever God called you to. Amen? And so you got to understand, with that anointing that's on you, it changes your life, because you begin to quit looking through what all that you want, and you begin to say, "God, what do you want? God, what do you need?" Come on, somebody. You may even need to make some quick decisions. Elisha sacrificed oxen right there. See, listen to me. Oh, God. I could preach right here for a little while. He killed the oxen, used the plow as wood to burn the oxen. He destroyed that thing that he used to be in, so that he would have no way back. He destroyed that. "I'm not going back. It's either Jesus or nothing. It's either the will of God or nothing. I'm not going back to my old way of life." I ain't got time to preach that. I could preach that for a little while. He burned up the yoke to follow a man. Here's what he gave up. Now listen, he was plowing. How many yoke of oxen? Do you remember? Four yoke or two yoke or something? It was several. It was several. And if you read it and begin to do the history on it, that means that he was a rich man. His dad was rich. He was working for his daddy, and his daddy was rich. And he gave up the lifestyle of the rich and famous, to follow around a man to pour water on his hands, to build a fire, to cook, to clean, to make a fire, to do his laundry. Come on, somebody. But it didn't matter. He was following the anointing. My brother, you listen, you know, this is going to sound a little arrogant and presumptuous, but when I was called to preach, I left a good paying job. I mean, and I'm very well taken care of now, and I give God the praise. Boy, I wasn't when I left. Come on, somebody. But I left a good paying job. And I was moving up the ranks, and matter of fact, I was going to be a part owner in a franchise, and I was moving up the ranks, and man, that's what I wanted. That's what I was going to do. Matter of fact, I even said to the Lord, "Lord, this is really going to help, because I'm going to be financially well off, that I can go preach wherever, and it don't matter, because I won't need an offering. I won't need anything. You're just going to take care of me, because I'm going to be part owner in this franchise, and it's all going to be wonderful." And the Lord said, "No." But you know why I was following the anointing? Oh, I'm not supposed to be wiping my sweat on that one. I was following the anointing. And that's what Elijah was doing. Oh, good Lord, I got 5 minutes and about three more points. Let me go on. All right. But there came a point where Elijah asked Elisha, "What do you want? Elisha, what do you want? Really, Elisha, what do you want?" And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of the Spirit of God that's on you." And Elijah said, You've asked a hard thing. You've asked a hard thing. Why would you want the anointing that's on me? You've asked a hard thing. Because anointing doesn't come easy. Hear me, somebody. Anointing doesn't come easy. It takes prayer. It takes fasting. Here comes an ugly word. It takes dedication. Here comes another ugly word. It takes having a relationship with God. Well, I don't understand. I just, no, you know, nothing ever happens when I do. Are you anointed? Well, you said I was. No. Are you anointed? Have you walked with God? Have you worshiped God and now willing to work with God? Or have you just tried to work for Him? He said, you've asked a hard thing. However, if you see me when I'm taken up. God, I need a little while longer to preach on this for a while. He said, if you see me when I'm taken up, if you'll walk through Gilgal with me, if you'll walk with me through hell and high water. Hear me, somebody. If you'll walk with me through Gilgal, if you'll walk with me when they're trying to destroy me, if you'll walk with me when it looks like I'm going down, if you stay with me all the way, if you see me when I'm taken up, God, one translation says, if you see what I see when I'm taken. If you have my vision, Jesus wants you to have His vision of the world. See, some of us only walks with Him through the good times. We only want to walk with Jesus. Will you stay with Him during the crucifixion? Will you stay with Him? Will you walk when you don't see nothing? Can you worship and serve when you go through a season of nothing? The problem is too many of us give up when we don't see with our eyes. But my God, somebody needs to hear me. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. You don't know what God's doing upstream. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. You just better keep walking. You better stay with Him. I don't know what God's going to do, but you better stay with Him when you go through a season of nothingness. He said this, Jesus said, the same Jesus that you see ascended into heaven and will descend. But go you into Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. God is not satisfied with us just walking around. He wants us to have a towel in our hand. So that we're ready to serve. So that we're ready to do whatever needs to be done. God is not satisfied. For some of us, it's service. For some of us, it's giving finances. You know, I've asked the Lord, could I be that guy? Wouldn't you like to be the guy that finances everything? Yeah, God, because, you know, in order to give it, you got to have it. I want to be that guy. Lord, can't you use me like that? Give me that towel. I'll gladly accept that towel. Right? Ha-ha. This is for free, but if you won't be faithful over $10 out of $100, you sure wouldn't be faithful over more. God wants to use you. There's a family that you can reach. There's a soul that only you can win. There's a burden that only you can lift off. There's a need that you can carry in prayer. There's a towel in your hand. Are you going to use it? There's a towel. You know, there's a group in this church, and I'm just making a point. There's a group in this church, and I won't call their names, but they're sitting over in this side. And they're old bikers. And there's some group that they can reach that I can't reach. They don't want to listen to me in my three-piece suit. Now, they listen to me when I ride up on my Harley with my patches on. Why? Because they taught me how to ride. They taught me how to act. Come on, somebody. But there's somebody that they can touch that I can't. There's some folks that you can touch that I can't. There's some people that you can minister to that ain't going to hear anything from me. There's some folks that you've been through some stuff that other folks have gone through. I didn't go through what you did. So when I say it, it's theory. But when you say it, it is the gospel, because you went through it. You worked through it. And you know what you're talking about. I'll never forget this little 17-year-old we had. We're a church that encourages ministry, but a little 17-year-old was preaching, and he was talking about when you ain't got enough money to pay the bills. I almost laughed out loud. I was like, you 17 years old, you don't know about no paying no bills. Right? But he heard somebody say it. But I could talk about paying some bills. Come on, somebody. Supper for some of you is over. Supper for some of you is over. That you fed yourself long enough. I'm not saying it's time to quit eating, but for right now, it's time to serve. Come on, somebody. It's time to serve. Now is the time to go to work. Some of you have a ministry of helps, but someone offended you. So now you no longer serve. Somebody hurt your feelings. Look at your neighbor and say, I understand. And now look back at him and say, get over it. I'm telling you, I've never seen a generation who is so easily offended. My goodness. Time to put on your big boy pants. Your big girl panties. Take the diaper off. Quit letting people just anything just cause you to be offended. I get offended all the time at Walmart, but I still go. You know, I used to run a Wendy's, and when I get bad service at a Wendy's, oh man, I get fired up. I want to go in there and tell them about it. But I still keep going back. Amen. Because you've become accustomed to it. Not me. Oh, really? How many ever pull off from a drive-thru and don't ever check your bag? A couple of y'all. You don't even check your bag. I might pull away from it, but I ain't leaving until I check my bag. Because my sandwich is ketchup, mustard, and pickle only. I want no nasty lettuce on it. I don't want no nasty tomato. I don't want no nasty onion. I don't need that nasty stuff. I need the good stuff. Ketchup, mustard, pickle. Cheese? Maybe. All right. Whatever. So when you order like I order, you better check your meal. Some have the ministry of giving, but something happened. Some, your blessing was in giving. And every time you gave, God gave back. Let me say this, and I'll be done. If you get into a place where you're supposed to be, the anointing will fall on you. See, some people's anointing, you've lost. Some people go, well, I lost my anointing. It's because you're out of place. If you stay in alignment, the anointing stays. And the first way to get to that place is knowing Him as Savior. If you don't know Him as Savior, see, I'm amazed as people talk about, well, I don't understand why God ain't blessing me, but you living in sin. You can't do that. You can't dance with the devil and wonder why you can't get out of hell. You can't be shacked up with the devil and expect God to pay your rent. We worship God. We walk with God. Then we work with God. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. Would you bow your heads with me? But if you don't know Jesus, but you want to, I want to give you that opportunity.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.